We read Scripture this evening from Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and we will read the parable of the 10 virgins, the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired Word. That's our text, the 13 verses that make up this parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, we are living at a time in which the signs of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ are as clear as they have ever been. So evident are they that they hardly need to be mentioned. Wars and rumors of wars are widespread. Think of our country's ongoing conflict in the Middle East. News of natural disasters can be found regularly. When I wrote this sermon not so long ago, what had just taken place was the tsunamis and floods in the Philippines. And more recently, we see the earthquakes in Haiti. Apostasy in the nominal church abounds. Read the Standard Bearer. You see the many errors that are in the church today. And that list could go on and on. Lawlessness, the persecution of the church throughout the whole world, but also this, the faithful preaching of the gospel. In the preceding context, in Matthew 24, these were exactly the things Jesus taught. Jesus taught more clearly in Matthew 24 than any other place what the signs of His return are. The parables of Matthew 25 are directly connected to this instruction of Jesus. We can say that the parables of chapter 25 are the specific application of what Jesus taught in chapter 24. Jesus is saying this, On the basis of everything I taught you in chapter 24, there's something else that you must know. And what else you must know is this. Knowledge of the signs of my return requires that something be done. It's not good enough merely to know in our minds what the signs of Christ's return are. That knowledge requires that we do something. In the parable immediately following the one that we're going to consider, the parable of the talents, we see that our calling is to work, to labor, while we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. But the calling that comes to us in the parable that we consider this evening, the parable of the 10 virgins, is even more fundamental than the calling to work. Namely, the calling to watch for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus calling to watch for His return. We take that as our theme for this parable. Jesus calling to watch for His return. We notice in the first place the parable itself. Secondly, we notice the calling to watch. And thirdly, we notice the end. Jesus is calling to watch for His return. The parable, the calling, and the end. In His parables, Jesus uses earthly figures, well-known earthly realities, to teach spiritual truths. That's the case in this parable. Jesus uses the well-known figure of a wedding and a wedding celebration. In order to understand the parable, therefore, we need to understand something about how weddings were conducted in Jesus' day. The beginning of the marriage process was the betrothal, which we often compare to our present-day engagement. The two were similar in that after the betrothal, after the engagement, there was a significant amount of time before the actual wedding, the wedding celebration, and the consummation of the marriage. The events in our parable took place on the actual day of the wedding. On that day, the bride and groom would remain separate in their homes, each in their own homes, and they would spend the day preparing themselves and beautifully adorning themselves for the events of the evening. In the early evening, the bridegroom, with his close friends and family, would make a procession to the home of his bride. And then from there, the bridegroom and the bride together would make another procession to their new home where the wedding would take place and the wedding celebration. Waiting at their new home would be those who were invited to the wedding, who, when they saw the procession coming, would go out with their lamps, and then they would light the way for the bride and groom as they entered into their new home. It was at this last procession of the bride and groom that we find the virgins in the parable. The 10 virgins eagerly awaited the arrival of the bridegroom. But in the parable, the bridegroom was much later than expected. In fact, it became late. So late that the sun went down and the virgins became tired, so that they eventually fell asleep. And it is worth noting at this point that it is striking that in the parable, all we read about is the bridegroom. Nowhere do we read about the bride. But that is in keeping with the meaning of this parable, as we will see in a little bit. So the bridegroom tarried in the parable, but he certainly came. At midnight, a cry went out, "The bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming." And so the virgins awoke and with renewed excitement got their lamps out to prepare the way for the procession. But when they did that, only 5 of the virgins, the wise virgins, had oil for their lamps. And the other 5 virgins, the foolish virgins, had no oil. So the foolish virgins turned to the wise virgins and asked that they could borrow oil. The wise virgins responded by saying, "No, we're not going to give you oil, lest none of us have oil for our lamps." So the foolish virgins went out and purchased oil. But when they returned to the house, the bridegroom and the 5 wise virgins had already entered into the house and begun the wedding celebration. The foolish virgins knocked on the door, asked to be let in. But when they did that, the bridegroom responded, "I know you not." The bridegroom in the parable is Jesus Christ. which is made explicit in verse 13, where Jesus Christ identifies the bridegroom as the Son of Man. The Son of Man was Jesus' favorite designation of Himself during His earthly ministry. It was a name that emphasized who He was as both very God and very man. Christ was not a Son of Man, but the Son of Man, pointing to the fact that He is highly exalted over every other creature exactly because Jesus is God. But He is the Son of Man, a real man who was like us in all ways except sin. The bridegroom in the parable is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, God, come into the flesh. The coming of the bridegroom in the parable, therefore, is a picture of Christ's return to His bride. As we noted in the introduction, Jesus speaks this parable immediately after chapter 24, where the signs of His return are set forth. There's no doubt that in the parable, the coming of the bridegroom is a picture of that great day at the end of this present age when our Lord Jesus Christ will return again on the clouds of glory to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And when He comes, Christ comes as the bridegroom. There's great significance to the fact that Jesus identifies Himself in the parable as a bridegroom. Jesus Christ is the groom of His beloved bride, the church. Jesus Christ returns again to consummate the marriage that He has with the church. And it's at this point especially that we see very clearly the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the groom of His beloved bride, the church, exactly because He gave His life for her. At the end of the parable, we read of the bridegroom's words to the foolish virgins, "I know you not." The implication of those words is that Jesus says to the wise virgins, "I know you." And that knowledge is the knowledge of love that is rooted in God's eternal choice of us, His church, in eternity past, and is grounded in Christ's shed blood on Calvary's cross. Jesus Christ is the groom of His beloved bride, the church, exactly because He gave His life for her. John 10, verses 14 and 15. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And especially this, I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus Christ is the bridegroom in the parable. The 10 virgins are the visible church. That is, the 10 virgins represent all of the members of the instituted church as she exists here on this earth at any given time in history. The virgins represent the complete church. There were 10 of them. 10 is the number of completeness, the number of fullness. There were 10 plagues. That was the full expression of the wrath of God upon Egypt and Pharaoh. There are 10 laws in the moral law of God, the full expression, manifestation of God's law for His people. And there are 10 virgins, the complete church, as she exists here on this earth. That the virgins represent the complete church is why included among them are 5 who were wise and 5 who were foolish. That is to say, not all the members of the instituted church are the true spiritual seed of Abraham. There are some members of the church who are only members outwardly. Jesus is setting forth the reality that in the church today, there are some who are not actually saved. Included among the wheat, the wise virgins, is also the tares, the foolish virgins. For as Romans 9 verse 6 says, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. But even though the virgins represent the complete church, as it includes both the elect and the reprobate, it is significant, nevertheless, that the church in the parable is symbolized by a virgin. There's rich, spiritual, biblical symbolism to that figure. What essentially is a virgin? A virgin is one who, while waiting for the consummation of the marriage, remains chaste and pure. Apply that now to the church. We are betrothed to Jesus Christ, waiting for the consummation of that marriage when He returns again. But until that time, we, the church, are a virgin, called to be separate from all that is unholy and completely consecrated to our groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said what he did in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And so, as a chaste virgin to Christ, as members of the church, we are characterized by those who wait for His second coming. We love Christ. We love our groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love Him because He first loved us and gave His life for us. If we truly love Christ, and if we truly love His Word which sets forth Christ, then just as a bride longs for the day of her wedding and the full realization of her marriage, so also must we long for the second coming of Jesus Christ and the consummation, the full realization of the marriage that we have to Him. So the bride, the bridegroom in the parable, is Jesus Christ. The virgins are the complete church. But there's one other main element in the parable that we need to see, and that is the lamps and the oil. The lamps represent the outward confession of all of the members of the church. The outward confession that says, yes, I am waiting and watching for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The whole church makes that confession. All 10 of the virgins had lamps, but only 5 of them had oil for their lamps. The oil was what made the lamps useful. Without the oil, the lamps were absolutely worthless. And so the oil is a picture of the inner preparedness of those members of the church, which manifests itself not only in the outward confession, but also in a heartfelt, sincere desire and longing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So just to make that clear, all 10 virgins had lamps. They all outwardly confessed that they were watching and waiting for Jesus Christ. But only 5 had oil. There were only 5 that truly longed for His coming by preparing themselves for that coming. And so we see that this parable has only application for the church. It's not referring to the pagan, the Buddhist, the Muslim, who doesn't even have on his mind at all the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's referring to those who truly watch for that coming, and also those who just outwardly watch, but are hypocrites, and don't truly love Christ, and don't desire truly His second coming. These main elements of the parable indicate that the main idea expressed in this parable of Jesus is a calling to watch for His coming. The virgins knew that the bridegroom was coming, and therefore they were to watch for that coming. Similarly, the Church of Jesus Christ knows Christ will return, and therefore we must watch for that return. The lamps and the oil tell us that this watching must not only be an outward confession, but it must be a matter of our hearts, truly preparing ourselves and longing for that coming. The signs of Matthew 24 must live within us. They must be found in the depths of our hearts. Those signs must not only be a matter of intellectual knowledge or theological discussion, but they must live within us so that they affect everything about us, how we live, how we understand the world around us. Watch. We must watch for the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are three points that we can make with respect to this calling that we have to watch for Christ's return. In the first place, the coming of Jesus Christ will be sudden and unexpected. That was the case in the parable. The virgins thought that the bridegroom was going to come in the early evening. And as it became later, they wondered at all if He was going to come, so that they eventually fell asleep. When they least expected it, at midnight, that's when the cry went out. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. So also will Jesus Christ come suddenly and unexpectedly. This does not take away from the fact that there are signs of His return that certainly tell us that Christ will return again. But those signs do not tell us precisely the time at which He will come. It will be, as it were, at midnight. Suddenly and unexpectedly will Jesus Christ return. Watch, therefore, constantly watch for the coming of Christ, for we know not the day nor the hour of His return. In the second place, this calling to watch is a personal responsibility. You, not as a church, but you as individual believers, and me as an individual, must watch for the coming of Christ. This comes out in two ways in the parable. In the first place, there were 10 virgins, and each of them had an individual lamp. The lamp, you remember, is a picture of the outward confession of the child of God. Each individual virgin had a lamp that points to the fact that this is an individual, personal responsibility to watch for His coming. But the personal nature of this calling also comes out from what we read in verse 8, where we read that the foolish virgins tried to borrow oil from the wise virgins. The foolish virgins thought that they could depend on the preparation and faithfulness of the other virgins. They thought that They didn't have to do anything themselves, individually, but could rely on the faithfulness of others. When must we watch? We must watch now. Not 10 years from now. Not a year from now. Not a month from now. Not a day from now. But now we must watch. We must not be trapped by that lie of the devil that says that we don't have to worry about watching for Christ's return. It says that when Christ returns, we can depend on others, other members of the church, the office bearers, parents. That's not the case. Watch individually, for when He does return, there will be no borrowing of the oil from others. So Jesus Christ will come suddenly and unexpectedly. This is a personal responsibility to watch. And in the third place, we need to see the urgency of doing this. This comes out from the fact that there are no second chances. The foolish virgins tried to do something after the bridegroom came. They tried to borrow oil from the other wise virgins. After that didn't work, they went out and purchased oil. But they couldn't do that. That didn't work. There are no second chances when our Lord Jesus Christ returns again. And therefore, we see the urgency of heeding this command of Jesus Christ to watch for His return. What explains why some of the virgins were faithful and were prepared and truly watched? And what explains why some of the virgins did not? The explanation comes from the fact that 5 of the virgins were foolish and 5 of the virgins were wise. 5 virgins did not prepare themselves because they were fools. Foolishness is this. Folly is failing to reckon with reality. Failing to act on the basis of what we know to be the truth. In the context of the parable, folly is not ignorance. The virgins knew that the bridegroom was coming. They knew that. They certainly knew that. But they didn't do anything about it. They didn't prepare themselves by bringing oil for their lamps. In the context of the parable, folly is not living in unbelief. The virgins were the church. And folly also is not living in gross public sin. They were good members in the church, outwardly. Outwardly they confessed to be watching for the coming of Christ. Folly is failing to reckon with reality. Reality tells us that this world will not go on forever. And that there is an end and that all men will be judged. Reality tells us that we must judge everything in the basis of God's Word and in light of God's Word. Reality tells us that Jesus Christ will return again. The fool knows all of those things. The fool knows that this world will not go on forever. The fool knows that everything must be viewed in light of God's Word. The fool knows that Jesus Christ will return again. But He does nothing about it. The virgins in the parable were fools. They knew the bridegroom was coming, but failed to prepare by bringing oil for their lamps. That's the attitude of some in the church today. What folly that is, people of God. Read God's Word. Christ is coming. See the signs. Christ is coming. Let us never be foolish. Watch for that coming. But some were prepared. The other virgins were prepared by bringing oil for their lamps, exactly because they were wise. Wisdom is the opposite of foolishness. Wisdom knows what is reality and acts accordingly. The virgins knew the bridegroom was coming, and therefore they brought oil for their lamps. We will be watching. There are those in the church that will truly be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But there's still a danger for us. There's still a serious threat. And that comes out in the parable in a striking way. The wise virgins did not watch perfectly. They fell asleep along with the five foolish virgins. And so we see the danger that even those who will be prepared can face. The danger is simply that we will forget about Christ's return and that we will fail to heed this calling to watch. Let us be wise, preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How do we watch? We watch in the first place by praying. Praying for Christ's coming. If we truly desire the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will pray for that coming. Often, this prayer will arise from our lips. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come to deliver us from this world of sin. Deliver us to be with Thee forever in glory. Prayer in general, that prayer specifically, will keep our hearts focused upon Jesus Christ and His second coming. That will prepare us for His coming. Pray for His coming. In the second place, we prepare ourselves and watch for the second coming of Jesus Christ by hoping and longing for that coming. This is our great hope. Jesus Christ will return again. This world is not all that there is. This world of sin and struggles and burdens and difficulties. Christ is coming again to deliver us from this world. That's our hope. It's a sure hope that comes to us from our faithful covenant Father. Long for that day. Live as pilgrims and strangers until that day. We're on a journey. A short journey here on this earth. But it's a journey that is taking us to that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we watch and we prepare ourselves for Christ's coming also by remaining faithful until that coming. We are married to Jesus Christ. And just as any spouse has the calling to remain faithful in that marriage, so also must we remain faithful to Jesus Christ while we wait for the full realization of that marriage when He returns again. Let us be faithful, not only in our confession of our truth, but also in our daily walk and in all of our lives long. Pray for that coming. Hope for His coming. Long for His coming. And until that coming, be faithful in all things. And when He comes, that will be a most glorious end. A most glorious end. But only for some. For some, they will hear the most terrifying words that any man could ever hear from the mouth of Jesus Himself. I know you not. Those were the words of the bridegroom to the foolish virgins after they purchased oil and knocked on the door to be let in. I know you not. Those are the words that Jesus Christ, you remember, will say to some in the church. Those who outwardly confess that they longed for Christ's coming, but who inwardly had no desire for that coming and no love for Jesus Christ, but only a love for self and sin and this world. And for that, they will be judged. They will be judged eternally. Those foolish virgins never made it into the house where the bridegroom and the five wise virgins enjoyed the marriage celebration. And outside of the house, as it were, of where that celebration is enjoyed, is only a place where the fiery vengeance of God's wrath burns hot. But for some, it will be a most glorious result, a most glorious end. The full realization of our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what Christ comes to do. When He returns on the clouds of glory, He comes to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And it is there where the marriage celebration between Christ and His church will be enjoyed. And that celebration will consist of loving fellowship with Jehovah God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that fellowship will be forever. The door was shut. Those outside of the Christ never made it into the house. But those whom Christ takes with Him into the heavenly home of glory that is ours will never and can never leave. The door was shut. The marriage supper between the Lamb that was slain and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ will be enjoyed into all eternity. But until that day, watch for His coming. We're living at the end by the power of God's grace worked in your hearts. Watch, watch for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we look forward to the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns on the clouds of glory to make all things new. Until that day, we pray for Thy Spirit and Thy grace to heed this calling and this parable that we have heard tonight, to watch and be prepared and truly long for the second coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. Forgive that which was done in sin, both in the speaking and hearing of Thy Word. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.